Well, our numbers are not large tonight, but your singing was good, and I appreciate that. And it is a privilege to come together tonight. We certainly, this evening, want to wish you all a Happy New Year. And as we close up this year of 2017, and I'll look forward to 2018, there's much to give thanks for. Actually, what we'll do, Lord willing, next week I'll bring a New Year's related message. And what I wanted to do tonight was just to bring a brief devotional, something that would be encouraging, appropriate. And as I thought about what would honor the Lord, and I trust encourage all of us tonight, it's the idea of closing out this year of 2017, heading into this new year, and giving thanks as we do. So our short time together tonight in the Scriptures, I simply called it thankful. And I invite you to open up to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16 and 17 together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. A meditation, a devotional I've called being thankful. I'll begin reading in Colossians 3, verse 15. The Scripture says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." As we look at this passage in a brief way, Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, I see three things that I hope will encourage us to be thankful as we head into the new year. And the first one is very simply, number one, we need to be thankful for our church. And that's something that would be true of all believers. And you might say, well, Greg, how about all the believers who aren't part of a church? Well, you know, again, I remember reading this statement in a commentary, and I've never forgotten that the Bible never really deals with a Christian who's not part of the church. It's just not something dealt with. It's just so unusual, odd, that they don't even address it. And you say, where do you see this point, be thankful for your church? Look at verse 15, and we're going to have to take a little bit of context in view to see the point. It says, verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Now, let me just stop there. That's not talking about I have peace in my heart, and I'm trying to decide what to do this new year. Should I change jobs or not? I'm going to do whatever God gives me peace about. That's not at all what Paul is saying. When he writes in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," he's talking about let there be peace between us in context. I should be at peace with you, and you should be at peace with me. That is clearly the context. So Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." So what does it mean to be a born-again Christian, a believer? It means you've been called into the body of Christ, the church. That's verse 16. Verse 15. And we're called, all different kinds of people, to be part of this one body. And it says, and be thankful. So the question then would be at the end of verse 15, be thankful for what? Well, the context of what he's talking about is we need to be thankful for one another. Even though we don't sometimes get along with one another. Let me give you just a biological illustration. It is a wonderful thing to have family. It's a nice thing to be able to visit maybe what? Parents, children, grandchildren, relatives, even though you don't always get along, right? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you fight with your family, okay, because that maybe is not a blessing. But just recently, we were up in Ohio at a wedding, and our family was all together, and I was thinking this may be the last time that everybody's there. And it was such a blessing to be able to talk to other family members. And even though we have our moments where we don't get along and there's challenges, it's just a nice thing to have family. That's how we're supposed to think about a church family in spite of our differences. You say, Greg, where do you see this context? let's go back to verse 11 of Colossians 3, and let's review a little bit why Paul's talking about this. In verse 11 of Colossians 3, Paul says there's a renewal in which there's no distinction, notice, between, these are different groups of people in the church, Greek and Jew. They didn't get along in the ancient world. In fact, they didn't even like each other in the ancient world. Circumcised and uncircumcised. Barbarian, Scythian, slaves, freemen. But Christ is all in all. Can you imagine being a slave and your owner is saved and you get saved and you worship at the same church? I think that would be incredibly hard. That was a reality in the first century. So you say, what do we do? Verse 12. So as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's how we're supposed to deal with one another. With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. You say, Greg, but how about all the times that we sin and we hurt and we offend each other? And we do, even though we try not to, we do. Notice verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So what should happen in a church is even though we have our struggles, our disappointments, and we offend each other, and I wish this were more of a reality, to be frank, it shouldn't be like, wow, I'm out of there, I'm going to go find another church. Because the fact is we're all sinful people, and you can leave any one local church when you're hurt, but it's only a matter of time. When you go to a new church, you're going to get hurt there too. And I'm not glad for that, but the fact of the matter is we're all sinful people, and we all struggle. And even when we try to be a blessing and encouraging to each other, we sin against each other. You say, so how do we respond? Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That's the context. Keep that in mind. Now I'll read again verse 15. And let the interpersonal peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. If Paul's talking all about getting along with people that are different, that you might not even like, that sometimes sin against you and offend you, and then he gets down in verse 15 and reminds us that we need to be at peace with one another, we were called in one body, and then he says, be thankful. In context, it has to be thankful for one another. That should be the heart that we have to our brothers and sisters in the church. Even though we have many different backgrounds, even though we have different preferences, some of us come from different cultures, and we might even act in ways that other people find distasteful, or even at times, I don't know if this is too strong of a word, offensive. Yet we have one another. We were placed in the body of Christ, and by God's grace, we need to seek to be at peace with one another and be thankful for one another. We can close this year, look forward to a new year, giving thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, just to be frank, here in Greenville, I think this is a pretty hard thing to understand. There's so many Christians in Greenville, and that's not a bad thing. That even if you're not hanging out with your church family, there's Christians everywhere else. And even if somebody bothers you at one church, you just move to another church. People do it all the time. And I'm not saying that's the worst thing in the world. But if we can just put ourselves back in the first century and where many believers are today, where you're in a society that's not been influenced by Christianity and Christians are few and far between, and you come together with that small group of people, and they're the only other people who believe in Jesus Christ, it's a very special thing to come together, and we need to be thankful. Now, again, for us, I think maybe this is a little bit harder. But I have actually heard more than one person, typically from a different country, a different culture, say to me, hey, as a professor, Dr. Mazak, I walked into chapel here at the university, and the song leader stood up, and here's a couple thousand people opening up and singing a song. I have never been in a room in my life with that many Christians. I have never sung a song with that many Christians. And I couldn't sing because I just wept. Because never in my whole life If I've been in a place where there's maybe 2,000-3,000 Christians singing, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where I'm from, there's just a handful of Christians. And they have that thankful spirit. That's the same spirit Paul wants us to have. That's the first thing we see in verse 15. We need to be thankful for our church. Paul says at the end of verse 15, be thankful. But we'll see a second thing in verse 16. You say, what do we do as a church? Well, we do many things. But one thing we do is we come together and we sing songs of praise. Our second point, sing with thankfulness to God. I hope we did that tonight. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Obviously, these are such rich texts and we're going quickly, but maybe I can just kind of move through verse 16 quickly. God's word should richly dwell or be at home within us. We're reading God's word. We love God's word. We're thankful for the word. And then because we're getting to know the word, verse 16, with all wisdom, we're teaching and admonishing one another. So in context, this is something we do as a group. We come together. And how do we teach and admonish? Admonish can be encourage. It could also be convict. We teach and admonish one another, notice, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the kind of songs we should always be singing as a church would be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What kind of songs? The songs that teach and admonish one another. So one of the things that we should do as we're thankful for one another and we gather together as the church is we should be singing songs that minister to one another. And I hope that our singing did that tonight. Our singing should have that influence on one another. But notice the end of verse 16. We're singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And as I've mentioned recently in a sermon, in your hearts doesn't mean privately. It's not like be thankful in your heart, but keep it a secret. In your heart means it's real. It's inside me. And because I'm thankful in my heart, I just can't help singing. And I want to sing. And for some of you, you're singing out loud and in wonderful ways because God has blessed you with a wonderful voice. And for others of us, maybe we're not gifted with great voices and maybe never had any training in that. And that, in a sense, is not an issue because what matters is in our hearts, we're thankful to God. And so that's one of the things we do. And we need to be thankful for this. That even tonight we can come together and sing with thankfulness to God, with our brothers and sisters in Christ for whom we are thankful. Now, just point out one little thing. I know there's different translations. In verse 16, it literally says at the end, singing with grace in your hearts. And I say it that way because the Greek word that is in many of our translations translated thankfulness is actually the word for grace. And in the vast majority of verses where it occurs, it's translated grace. And so it could mean God's grace. It could mean that we should sing in a graceful fashion. Or it could mean, and it is translated this way in the New Testament frequently, it could mean singing with thankfulness. And in the context of the passage, we're singing to God with something in our hearts. How would we translate that word grace? Well, most translations translate it as thankfulness, which I think in context would be the correct translation. Some of you may have with grace in your hearts, and that literally is the literal meaning of the term. So what can we be thankful for as we close out a year, begin a new year? We can be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be thankful, number two, that we can come together and sing with thankfulness to God. And then a third point in verse 17, we can give thanks in all things through Christ. Notice verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So whatever means everything, right? And it's obviously talking about the church coming together. So whether we have a nice meal as we enjoyed just a little bit ago, most of us, whether some of you guys are going to be playing football maybe tomorrow morning, and some of the younger guys will get together, getting together to play football. Meeting for coffee, Bible study, certainly it includes worship, but it's everything. Whatever you do in word, speaking, or deed, action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I think we're all familiar with the idea of a herald, an official spokesman who comes in the name of another person. He might say, I come to you in the name of the king, and I have an announcement. It's not my announcement. It's in the name of the king. And that's kind of the idea here. Everything we do should be in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not against ending our prayers in the name of Jesus we pray. That's an appropriate way, but that is not anywhere close to all that phrase means. It means that in every single thing that we do, we're acting, we're living, words, deed, we're speaking as representatives of Christ. Everything in the name of Jesus Christ, because we're ambassadors of Christ. And one of the things we do to express that we want to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, second half of verse 17, is giving thanks through him to God the Father. Notice the phrase giving thanks. Christians should be thankful people. Now, how many of you know of somebody who's really thankful but not a Christian? Right? I know of people like that. So there has to be something different about our thanksgiving. Do you see what it is here? Giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's just start with to God the Father. We should not be merely people that are thankful, but we should be people that give thanks to God the Father. Not just I'm thankful, but I'm thankful to God. And let me quickly say, there are many people who give thanks to God, but they don't know him. Notice what Paul says at the end of 17, giving thanks through Jesus to God the Father. As true Christians, we realize the only way we can come to the Father is through the Son. And we're so used to people in our culture saying, I thank God for this and I thank God for that. And I'm not putting that down. And that could be anything from buying a new car to catching a touchdown pass. And they'll even say, I'm giving thanks to God. But if you don't do that through Jesus, then you're not really coming to God, because the only way to the Father is through the Son. We understand that. Paul is saying that's what we should be doing, giving thanks, notice, in all things to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for our church, verse 15. We come together, we sing with thankfulness to God, verse 16. And whether we're together or apart, we give thanks in all things through Christ. In all things. And all things means in all things. Which would mean, even if you're reflecting on the year 2017 and you're thinking of some things that were bad, undesirable, evil. Evil is real. Bad things happen. Many things we encounter, undesirable. We, by God's grace, still should give thanks in all of those things to God the Father through Christ. There is always much to be thankful for. You may be involved in suffering. You may be discouraged. Can I just remind you? The world is filled with people that are suffering just like you. And I don't want to make light of your suffering, but can I just add two things? Number one, they have nowhere to go for help. And number two, when they leave this earth, the suffering has just begun. And they think it's bad now. They have no idea what it's going to be like to go into eternity without Jesus Christ. We, even in our suffering, at least we have someone to go to. And we can come to the Lord in the name of Jesus and say, please help. And then we know our suffering is temporal. It's not eternal, because there's coming a day when Christ comes back And there's coming a day we'll be with Christ, and that's forever. And everything will be wonderful. And so even if you are going through a very difficult time, still, by God's grace, you can give thanks in all things to God the Father through Jesus Christ. I end with a very simple illustration, a very light illustration. And my only hesitation in using it is lest you would think I'm making fun of suffering you're going through. I'm not. It's just a very simple illustration to make the point. In the history of the NFL, and I'm not even a big NFL guy, but the illustration hit me today. In the history of the NFL, there's only been one team that has gone 0-16. In the history of the NFL, only one team. And I'm looking for Blake. Is Blake? Blake's in the sound booth. Blake, could you remind us who that one team was? The Detroit Lions. Blake is a Detroit Lions fan. And that's kind of special because that's a record, okay? So in the history of the NFL, that's the only team to go 0-16. And that record was owned by the Detroit Lions until today, okay? Today, the Detroit Lions received what? Comfort? I don't know if that's the right word. A second team went 0-16 for the second time in the NFL, and that team, of course, would be the Cleveland Browns. Okay, so, and I don't really follow the Browns anymore, or what have you, with good reason, but I used to be a fan. So I checked my phone, the scores, and Cleveland loses. They go 0-16. They join the Detroit Lions. Okay. So this is my illustration. Stay with me. Some of you, you're already turning me off and say, I don't like football. You don't have to like football. Just listen, okay? Because it was a blessing in here. So I texted a friend. I have a friend who likes sports more than I do. And he lives up in Cleveland. I don't want to give you his real name because I don't want to embarrass him. We'll just call him Missionary Mike, okay? So Missionary Mike is a guy who lives in Cleveland. Love sports more than I do. And I texted him. And I said, hey, Mike. I said, the Browns went 0-16. And he texted me back. He said, yeah, I can't believe they did that. And I said, yeah, that typical Browns or whatever I texted him. I texted him something. And he said, but, Greg, you can still be thankful because this year in preseason they went 4-0. And I said, what an awesome thought. I said, I'm going to use that in the sermon tonight. You say, what can you give thanks for if your team goes 0-16? Maybe you can be thankful for the preseason, right? You say, it doesn't matter. But my point is there's always something to be thankful for. And I actually texted him back and I said, that was such a blessing to realize I went 4-0 in the preseason. Could I use that in my sermon? He said, sure. Go ahead and do it. So that was the illustration. Now, okay, maybe not the best illustration from your reaction, but in all seriousness, no matter what you're going through, and I don't mean to belittle true suffering by making an illustration of football, which we obviously know doesn't really matter, but we all have much to be thankful for. Three things Paul shows us in Colossians 3. We can be thankful for our brothers and sisters, our church. And then as we come together, we can sing with thankfulness to God. And then in all things, we can give thanks to the Father in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.